You are listening to The Yoga Show, and now it is time for the long-awaited off-vacation, off-hiatus, off-everything. I was on vacation, let's put it that way. Bike Sport Radio, we're back on the air. No fancy intro song, thanks to some five-finger discounting that occurred in my vehicle. You know how that goes in L.A.? What's yours isn't yours anymore. Thanks to somebody who decided to help themselves to the contents of my vehicle. Lots of Bike Sport Radio stuff went along with it. Luckily, no product, just a bunch of notes and recordings and iPod and wires and headphones and microphone covers and all that great stuff. Gotta love LA. God, I wish I could ride my bike all the time. How's everybody been? I hope been well. I hope to God I'm recording. I think I am. I don't know. You know how this is, this show. This show always runs by the seat of their pants. And, it's all about the bicycle. It's all about cycling. All about racing in L.A., racing everywhere else. We got some stuff today from, I've been busy. Haven't been on the air, but just been busy, you know. Getting out to a lot of events and checking things out and having some fun and enjoying the cycling while I could. Sadly, I'm on the DL. Stupid injuries. They get you every time. I actually tore up some muscles. One of the best ones you could tear up. And one of the ones it takes the longest to get back on. But I'll get there. I'll be out racing with you guys soon, I hope. But the bike world is going everywhere right now. All the way from cheating in the Grand Tours. No, not doping. That's old news. Everybody does that. It's no big deal. No, now they're doping the bikes. Theoretically, quote, it's been rumored that somebody's putting, heaven forbid, motor in a bike. Oh, gee, I haven't heard of that before. We can talk about that a little bit later on, too. All kinds of stuff going on. Went to see Otter. It was held this spring. L.A. Circuit Race was this spring. Brad House's event here in L.A. You know, the founder of Bike Sport Radio. And, it's just been a busy season. It's almost been too busy. Promoters, you guys, you all need to sit down. And you all need to, maybe take turns throwing darts at the dates on the calendar wall, because it's to a point where I've blew my race entry money a long time ago. And I think quite a few people kind of have, but there's been a bloody event every, sometimes two or three events every weekend. And, it's tough. It's tough out there. Family, kids, not all of us are seasoned pros and sponsored entry fees, but even then you can really kill a budget. So, I got out and, had a good time. Personally myself, I did make it to see Otter. I got out to see Otter and had a great, grand old time out there enjoying the weather. I didn't have the best race in the world. That's when the injuries actually began. I didn't know about it. So, kind of discovered the injuries while I was racing. But Sea Otter has become the new Interbike at half the price. For all you vendors. Hint, hint. No. Seriously, though, I think there were more product releases and introductions at Sea Otter than I think I saw at Interbike last year. Mind you, Interbike is still one of the biggest shows, and of course you could get in there and get with the manufacturing and all that stuff, but when it came to consumer releases, Interbike definitely had quite a bit. In the mountain world over there, the 11 speed XT was kind of hot topic there. Everybody went and googled and gaga'd at it, and be a game changer when it comes to 11 speed, I think. At least for the everyday man. I'm going to consider myself the everyday poor man, I got to go and sell cans so I can buy my next set of tires. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting next couple years is all I can say from all the little sneaky peeky things that are running around the racetracks, both road, mountain, cross. There's a lot of stuff on the horizon here, and it's quite interesting where this world of cycling is headed, and I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but I do see some things that, yeah, may not go over as well as anticipated, because I think some of it's starting to take away from the world of cycling, of what cycling really was all about. But it should be a very interesting time. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I think one of the hot topics of Sea Otter and pretty much everywhere right now, and even Interbike last year, became the insurgence of the e-bike. The e-bike is, I don't know. I don't really know if it should be considered a bicycle anymore. You know, at first I was one of those, no e-bikes. I don't think they have their market. Okay. I'm not going to say they don't, but, I was like, no, we don't need the e-bike. But then what I was thinking was the e-bike you see of the guy and girl, whoever, while you're pushing 20, 23, 24, 25, and you're pushing your heart and you're getting up there and you're going. And they blow by you and they're not sweating. Actually, they're on the phone talking. That just ticks me off. I know it ticks a lot of people off. And then you like try to chase them down and they click it up a notch and roll away from you. And you just go, God. Wow, really? On a bike path at that speed? But, you know, they've got their purpose. I have to admit, they got their purpose. So, yes, I took a few around the test tracks at Interbike last year, and I liked it. But I didn't ride the full e-bike. And that's something that I think we're going to see a little bit of a change occur. Bosch Industries has been one of the more kind of, they've been really putting a lot of effort into the technology of pedal assist. And I definitely, I'm not going to lie, I had a blast on one of those things at Sea Otter. I really did. I have to be totally honest with you. But here's the thing. I was still sweating. I still had to pedal. I still had to push. And I like the e-assist system. And Bosch is, you know, working with a bunch of different high-end manufacturers too, mind you, not the just run-of-the-mill guys, but working with a lot of people. And I definitely could see where that e-bike, e-assist system could come in really handy. Me, I've got a 23-mile commute to work every day. I could rock 23 miles on my road bike, you know, no big deal. I'd get to work looking like I stepped out of a swimming pool, but you know, nonetheless, I could do it. But then in the afternoon, I still got to do another 22 after a whole long day at work. Not feasible. But that's my only option. That's my commute, and I can't afford to move closer to work. An e-assist bike would be awesome. Get up and down those hills real quick, you know, less sweat. I still have to pedal, so I'm going to get some workout. But it's going to help me get there. And that was one of the things. It's still got to be worked. It's still got to be pedaled. So one of my recordings from Interbike has me going up the corkscrew. And I bet you can't tell that I'm going up the corkscrew at 20 miles per hour on an e-bike. But I was pedaling. That's after pre-running the cross-country course, the whole 23-mile cross-country course. After driving, you know, five and a half hours from L.A. up to Monterey. So, yeah, needless to say, my legs were pretty juiced at that time. They were pretty flat, but still cruising around and with a couple other journalists and media folk, and we're cruising around the track on those e-bikes, having a blast. So like I said, it's got its purpose, but, you know, we went to a couple of conferences there about, well, what about the e-bike on the trail? And I will tell you, there was a lot of discussion about it because it's true. If I'm motoring up a hill, single track, and I'm, you know, pushing 5, if I'm lucky, you know, nice 60% grade, something just sick. And this guy on an e-bike, rotors right by me. Well, now are we talking, you know, are you on a motorcycle or are you on a bicycle? Are you pedaling or, you know, what's the deal? How much faster are you going to be going up this hill? Are you going to spook people on the uphill? The nice thing about the pedal assist, though, is after 20 miles per hour, it's all you. So, you know, if you're cruising downhill, I mean, the max speed you're going to hit is 20 miles per hour. And after that, you're going to have to pedal if you want to go faster. So, like I said, do some research on that. I really enjoyed looking at those and riding those toys, but let's see where the technology goes with them, because I think we're going to start. The plan is let's get rid of the cars. And, you know, a lot of many other countries have done it. Will the U.S. do it? No. It's just a fact. No, we're not going to get rid of our cars. We like our cars too much. But, you know, come on, think about it. And don't everybody go, no, 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 that's not true. I want to ride my bike all the time. Are you going to ride your bike to your race? No. You're going to put your nice, expensive bike on your nice, expensive rack. You're going to drive to your race. You're going to warm up. You're going to race. Then you're going to throw your nice bike back on your expensive rack and drive home. It's a fact. It's going to happen. So what? It's okay. We can have our cars. But it would be really cool, you know, if there was more bike traffic. I mean, then we can justify, you know, our nice bike lanes, and we can justify and we can start educating, you know. I mean, our goal is to educate, right? So we can get some education to these drivers and get it all going. But like I said, Otter was an interesting experience. Will I go back next year? I don't know yet. It's getting kind of, it was cool. That's all I can say, really. It was cool. Course was boring. I raced cross country there. It was boring. Many road riders who race there, did just no creativity to the course. Just a killer hill that kill you right away, and then, you know, just no creativity there. So come on, Sea Otter folk. You were known for having these great race courses, this great event, and yet you give us these measly, I don't know if I can call them race courses, I guess. Maybe they're trying to cater to too many people. I don't know. But, I mean, there just was no creativity to the race course. It was pure punishment. You like to have fun if you're going to hurt, right? So, you know, I think, like I said, I raced XC, and I probably could have raced my cyclocross bike on this course and probably done a better job, and it would have been a lot lighter to carry back up those hills. I think there was a section where we were on the road going downhill on a paved road on a mountain bike. Yeah, that's a cross-country course, right? Reminded me more of racing some CX. But hey, I was there. Beautiful weather, great people, old friends, good times. You know, like I said, lots of new stuff, lots of new eye candy. I mean, just to really lighten your wallet. Got some cool things that came out of it too. Some unusual and some, you know, like I said, it's the everyman's inner bike now. So you're getting people who've created some really cool things, and they're taking them and showing them, you know. So I don't know. So what else is there? Yeah, it's my little rant on e-bikes for a little bit. The hit and run. Welcome to LA, home with a hit and run. God, there's just way too many. way too many. I'm hearing it. My Facebook is littered with it. I wonder though, and I know I'm going to take some flack and take some garbage for it. But, you know, are we causing these accidents? Just a thought. I'd say most of us as enthusiasts are pretty careful, pretty respectful. Most of us are car drivers, so we kind of know how to act. But, man, it's getting ridiculous now, you know, that people just aren't stepping up to accept responsibility for what they're doing, you know, and it's rotten. People are driving away. So, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, everybody. Go on to eBay, go on to whatever you can, buy what you can afford, but let me tell you, let's invest in this as if it were a pair of good shoes and a pair of helmet. Buy yourself a GoPro or some sort of sport camera, even a basic one, doesn't matter. Just get something so that you can record what's going on during your ride. I'm gonna advocate this out on my own. It's just my personal thing. Because sadly, you know, we can't rely on witnesses. Witnesses, you know, don't want to tie themselves into things. Hopefully, you know, if like I said, there's still some good people I think left here, but get some cameras on your bike. I personally use a GoPro on the front. I have an old one too. I actually just finally found an upgrade, but I still like using the old one. It records decently, gets what I need to get. But I'm using a Fly 6 on the back. And I will tell you, I actually got this Fly 6 when it was GoFundMe type situation. They were starting it, and I was like, oh, yeah, check this out. I like the idea. And basically, it's a, you know, red strobe light with a camera built in, rear-facing camera, and it recycles on itself. Really great pictures come out of it, though. It doesn't work too good in low light, but what camera really does, it's tough, but you can get what you need to get out of it. But yeah, it's a Fly 6, and you can take a look at that online. I've been testing it for about 2 years now, actually, and I don't ride without it, especially on the road, early mornings. You know, I've got my blinker, my red light, got all the different modes, you know, strobe, solid, whatever you need. And at the same time, it's video recording with sound. So, you know, it's a great little object. And in our next show, I'll actually put some pictures up, talk a little more about how it works and functions. You can follow along at our Facebook page for Bike Sport Radio. And you can take a look at, you know, I try to put all the pictures up as I'm talking about it. But as I said, you know, if somebody walked into my car and took off with all my stuff, so I'm a little behind trying to get back into the swing of the show. But yeah, the Fly 6 light. Better make sure I said it right, or it's gonna be what's a Fly 6? What's a Fly 6? Yeah, Fly 6. Yeah, and they have a new one, so I've actually been using the older one, but the new one is just amazing. I actually did see the new one at Interbike last year. They've cleaned it up a bit, made it a little smaller, more compact. It's more power, same power. You know, that's what you gotta love about. I love about technology. It's, you know, 6 months down the line and it's already outdated. Because they've already come up with something better. So, but yeah, this is an amazing little gadget. And like I said, strobe light camera. Get a couple hours of recording time out of it. Put a good SD card in it, and it'll keep recycling. And that's what's nice. You never really run out of room. It'll just keep going, hits the end of the card, and then goes back again. So I cover myself that way, and I could, you know, records what's coming up behind me, and then I got my GoPro for what's in front of me, and, you know, it's not that much extra weight, and it's not going to kill you, and, you know, you're not really racing on the street anyway, right? I mean, it's just all about training and riding. But, you know, everybody says, well, I have my phone. I can take video from my phone. The problem is, if you take a look at all these videos of from the phones, they aren't very clear. Then they're, you know, erratic, and they always miss something, you know. If you got something that's nice wide frame there, it's going to catch hopefully everything, and it's got some decent frames per second. When they slow it down, you can actually see what the heck you're looking at. So, anyways, oh, L.A., man, the things we got to do to ride in L.A., I mean, what else can I say? Dress bright, ride smart, you know. Take your lane, but come on, be real. Are you going to take your lane down one of the busiest thoroughfares in the city at rush hour? Come on. You know what? I mean, just come on. I know I should be, but I just, you have to be a realist, you know? Be real. There's nothing wrong with moving over a bit. So, what else are we going to do today? Oh, man, it's been so crazy. Contador. What's up with the flying Contador? Love him, hate him. Hey, whatever. He won, right? But not without some, what do we call that? Oh, yeah. Controversy. That's it. Contador and controversy. You can actually type that in. It'll actually come right up. I guess if you spell Versi right. Otherwise, you get something else. Don't blame me. And erase your history so your wife doesn't see it. At the Vuelta, I guess a couple of people were actually called out on the possible motor in the bike. We've seen it before. And my theory on it was, well, they're running power meters, and power meters are kind of like a little generator, right? I mean, they have a magnet that rotates around a sensor, and you energize that sensor the right way, you can create a little motor, basically, right? I mean, isn't that what an electric motor is? Who was it a couple of years back? Somebody took a tumble in one of these races and the bike kept doing donuts on the floor. No motor there, right? But, you know, if you think about momentum and weight, you know, if you, basic physics, folks, basic physics, you have something with some weight that's got momentum behind it, it's going to take a little while for that to stop. So, I'm going to go out on a limb. I want to believe there's a motor in the bike somewhere, but I don't believe it's one of those like that's all over, you know, all over social media and whatnot, you know, with little motor stuffed inside of the seat tube that is pedal. It's basically pedal assist. I'm not going to say they're that dumb to do that. I'm going to actually give them some credit and benefit of the doubt and say they've come up with something else. And not necessarily a motor, but definitely something in either the hubs or the rim itself. Now, remember going back to my other theory, my little thing I said. If you put weight in motion and allow it to keep going as momentum increases, it's going to keep spinning. We all know that wheels need to spin, right? The more they spin, the faster you go, the longer you go. Well, think about it. Where could they stash something that could just keep spinning? Well, it has to be round. It has to go in the direction that they're going. So, what rotates and goes round and round and round? Oh, yeah. Wheels. I don't know what it is. I can't tell you. I could go and be that. I could go start a nasty rumor. The power of the voice. But no, you know, it's just common sense. It's just sport. It's such a sad, sad state of sport that people are going to actually try to find a way to unfairly get an advantage. Why not just go back to the way of, hey, look, I'm going to train harder. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be an athlete. Hey, go figure. What's that? Yeah, an athlete. Be an athlete. Do it the right way. You know? I mean, come on. And everybody does it. We all go buy the sub 21, sub 17, sub whatever. We got to buy the lightest wheels. We got to buy the more aerodynamic tire. We're always looking for these little things. Do they really going to help us? No, because we're going to go sit down at the dinner table and throw half a pound of ice cream into our guts. So do you really, really, really think that the 2 or 5 grams that we save in titanium hardware and then tape the hole so the air can't get into those small cavities and slow us down? I mean, come on. You really? No. Just go maybe hit the gym, eat better, cut out the alcohol. Oh, my God, heaven forbid people cut out the alcohol. You know, what do you, I mean, come on, seriously, you guys, we all know it's just, we're lazy. It's a society of lazy people. I don't know. I can't wrap myself around these guys. I mean, is Contador or any other person winning a Grand Tour really going to sell that many more bikes? I mean, all I have to do is go online and say that XYZ brand bicycle will guarantee that you finish 5 positions better than you did last week. You know what? There's some poor fool who's going to drink that Kool-Aid, sell everything they have, and go buy XYZ bike because they want those 5 positions. Now, if he was DFL last week, guess what? He's still going to be close to DFL, right? So, I don't know. I really don't know. Is all the cheating really worth it? I mean, just get on your bike and ride. Race fair, ride, you know? I don't know. Does he have a motor stuffed in his bike? Everybody, the French media is just... French media is having a field day with the fact that he swapped out a tire before finishing one of the stages. I was just reading about it. See if I can remember what stage it was. It's just Velo News had it. And apparently, you know, he stopped, he swapped out a tire and rode on minus that tire and gave his tire to the teammate. And now, according to the stop, he was flat. But yet, all the pictures show the other teammate taking that same wheel and throwing it on his bike and then riding in with it. And it wasn't flat. So, like I said, I wasn't there, so I can't throw the stones. Apparently, there's pictures roaming around. There's video. I mean, come on. You know there's video. Someone's got the video of this going down. What's really, really happening? Like I said, I'm going back to my other theory. There's something in the wheels. Put a nice hollow groove in those nice deep dish carbon wheels. Put some rolling weight in there that's precision, you know, nylon lined wheel, so it makes no noise. You get those marbles spinning and they just keep spinning. Momentum, force, it's going to help you. It's going to spin you up a little quicker. I don't know. The way I see those wheels rotating when people were hitting the ground, it's got to be, man. It's got to be. Oh, God, I don't know. I really don't know. It could be anything. Cheaters. Ah! Cheaters, cheaters, cheaters. What do they say in elementary school? Here's the teacher in me, right? Cheater, cheaters, pumpkin eaters. Oh, I don't know. Oh, nice picture of somebody getting his pants in a zebra outfit. Who is that? Ah, yes. You know, love Facebook, hate Facebook, whatever the case. So, what do we got? Our good old friend Brad House, who is now residing in Texas on his houseboat. I feel bad for the people in Texas, not to make fun of their situation, but can we direct some of that water towards California? Shoot, if I had known it was going to be that much water and LA were smart, man, they would have taken some big old oil tanker vessels down there to the Gulf and threw some lines out into those rivers, man, and filled those tankers up with water and shipped them back over here. Hey, okay, whoever does this, remember you heard it from me, all right? All right? I want credit for only the good stuff. Anything bad? No, I didn't say anything. Anyway, our good old friend, Mr. Brad House. He's checking out the Texas racing scene, and he is having a blast as usual. I guess he sent in some audio from one of the races out there where... Got to remember this to get it right because it was pretty funny. I guess it was a women's race. She was crossing the finish line, but she wasn't quite finished yet. You know what they say about celebrating early, right? Well, apparently she tried to celebrate a little bit early. And before you knew it, the field was upon her. But alas, what did she do? Did she make it? Did she make it? Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should listen to the file to find out. What do you think? Apparently, yeah, no. Let me see. Let me get all the details right here for you. I'm multitasking. Oh, there it is. No. Computers, gotta love them. Let's see here. All right, so here's what I'm told here. Darn it. There it is. Okay. So, this is the note I get. All right. So this is called the Bricks. The Bricks is the event. It happens down there in Texas. And in the women's Pro 123 race, I guess Diana Benuela for Park Place Dallas Racing, I guess she was coming across the line, and I guess she lost track of her laps. Hey, don't laugh. It's probably happened to a few of you out there. You can all put your hands down in shame. Anyway, she went through throwing her hands up. She had 2 laps to go. And all of a sudden realized, holy crap, I still got 2 laps to go. So she took off, but she still managed to win it. And her teammate Flora Yan ended up taking seconds. The seconds? She didn't take those dirty seconds. She took second. You know, that's my most embarrassing, like my biggest nightmare of like coming across the line going, yes, I got this down. I'm done. And they go, ha ha, guess what? You got 2 more laps. Oh, yeah. Anyways, you can get the results. I'm not going to go through the whole results from the race, but you can get them at usacycling.org results and check out the bricks. But anyway, here's a little audio from that race, and I'm hoping that, remember, technology is not my friend. But here's the finish of the race, and let's see how she's. Oh, I did a big radio no-no. I walked away from the microphone. I was having too much fun. It's been a long day of work. But anyway, let's see if the sounds go off.
Our chase group is just now Tom Cool Collective.
All right, here we are now at the Women's Pro 123. Bike the Bricks with 5 laps to go. 4 rider breakaway.
Let's see if...
Just sprinted for a preem.
Can get back on term.
And yep, that's what they're talking about. The announcer's talking about the preem caused a split in that breakaway. It dropped her teammate.
And she's going to have to fight like crazy to get herself back into this race.
And all of that because of a $100 preem.
Hey, that's what the preems do, man. They blow races apart. Now they've blown away a breakaway.
All right. Who's going to win this? Women's Pro 123 at Bike the Bricks. There she is, still solo. Listen to the announcer.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 2015 Bike the Bricks champion. She won last year's champion.
Right, Dallas Racing Women's Team 1 and 2, in spite of the little mistake there. Right here at the Bike the Bricks in McKinney on Bike Sport Radio.
Our chase group is just now.
Wow. Good old Brad, man. He sounds pro out there, doesn't he? I don't know. I wonder where he learned. Oh, yeah, I used to sit here behind the mic. Anyways, yeah, no, Texas is really hot and live. Well, hot. And the racing scene right now is pretty hot down there. Freaking weather in the States here is just ridiculous right now. No idea what's what, but anyways. We'll get back to our normal racing schedule, promoters and whatnot. Go ahead, make sure you email or send me your links via Facebook. You can also email me at raceandteach@yahoo.com or gmail.com. RACINTEACH. Send me your schedule, your calendars. The MTB season is in huge swing. We've got 6 hours this weekend of Temecula. We've got the end of June here. We've got Rim Nordic, our good friends up at Rim Nordic. We know that Derek Herman up there in Bear Valley Bikes. Oh, shoot. No, not Bear Valley. Ah, Derek, you're going to kill me. They've got the Big Bear event up there, the Grizzly 100 and Grand Fondo and the whole nine yards. And as that comes closer, I'll have more on that. I know Derek's going to kill me because I slaughtered his bike shop name. Don't be mad. Derek, you know, I've been racing forever, and he came out, of course, with the Speed Evolution valve stems, and he just released the Schrader Speed Evolution valve stems. Just check out his webpage for that. They look really trick. Wish I had a downhill bike just so I could rock some of those. But yeah, he. That's it. Yeah, it is Bear Valley Bikes. But yeah, so he, you know, he's been doing this innovator. They said I did a review on his valve stems. So far, so good. And his sealant, the milkshake. It's doing pretty well so far. It's going through a big test right now to see what other news is out there in the product lines here. So, yeah, he's got his big Grizzly 100 coming on. What else here? What else is going down here? We've got kids playing with crocodiles in a kiddie pool. Yeah, I'm good. I don't want to be parent of the year. Lots of World Cup racing. I've been watching that, actually. It's been pretty good. All right, guys. Everybody's listening. Go to Fail Army. You're all going to cringe and just, oh, that hurt. Okay. Gotta stop watching that. Anyways, yeah, no, there's a lot of great rides and races coming up. I actually did a road ride with my family, actually with my dad and stuff. We went out and did the Cruising the Conejo ride out of Ventura. Nice ride, you know. Challenging, fun. We had decent weather, so made for a good day. But, yeah, it was, like I said, trying to rehab an injury. I figured I'd go do a nice leisurely ride with my dad. And it's good times. So, there's just a lot of fun rides. We got the LA River ride coming up. Lots of options if you're interested. And what else have we got going on? If you're going to be doing one of those rides and you don't want to pin your expensive jersey, well, we've got something here for you. Let me let the little intro tell you about it. I think you'll like them.
Bike Sport Radio is here for product review. Today I'm here with John. How you doing, John?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
Great. We are here with another new product, as we always review on Bike Sport Radio, because it's all about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. And you need this product. It's called Race Snaps. Check it out. So tell us about Race Snaps. What are Race Snaps, John?
Race Snaps is a two-part button that attaches your bib number to your jersey without punctures, holes, reusable, and washable.
That's right. It eliminates the safety pin, huh?
Yes, it does.
And the safety pin does what for you, or what does it do that you don't want it to do?
Everybody's had a tear in their jersey from a safety pin, or they haven't removed the safety pins out of their jersey fast enough and had a rust stain occur when they throw their jersey into their bag, or it just breaks down your jersey over time. So what Race Snaps does is it's a two-part button that compresses around the material of the jersey and then lets you forget all about that. Take it off, put it in a bag, and reuse it.
Sweet. Excellent idea. Made in Texas, made in USA. I love that. Why these? Why'd you come up with this idea?
Well, last time I bought a speed suit to race, and it was $190, and I'm going to use, I'm going to use safety pins that are just going to tear holes in it right away.
Yeah.
And so magnets came out, and we went, oh, magnets is a great idea, and we bought them, and then we went, no, these are dumb. They don't work. They suck to themselves. You got to have somebody else put them on for you, and then they move around. So I have a 3D printing business, and so we 3D printed some stuff for some magnets. We tried to get that to work. We couldn't get any of that to work. The magnets makes a lot of sense, but at the end of the day, it's not functional. So then I had an epiphany, and then we went through 13 different versions and to what we have now.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yep, these are reusable. Say no to safety pins that are washable. They can go through your washing machine. Non-destructible, too. Fabulous idea. So I want to get a hold of these, and I want to use them for myself, but not my teammates. I just want to sneak and buy them or something. So where do I get these?
At strap-id.com.
Strap-id.com. There you have it, folks. You heard it on Bike Sport Radio. Race Snaps. Give them a try. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All righty. The Race Snaps. You know what? At first I was like, well, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to work. I mean, especially on a really thick jersey. So I did give them a try. And Brad used them as well in his events out there. He does more road than I do. I usually use them more for cross, where we do pin our jerseys more often. Sometimes we have to pin over our into our nice, expensive, you know, rain jackets that we don't want holes in. You know, things like that. So, especially for gravel grinders and things like that, you know, you're going to pin a number on you. A lot of road events, things like that. But anyways, yeah, the snaps actually work really well. There's two different sizes to them, so that if the material's a little thicker, you still have room. Now, your thoughts are, such as mine were, well, now you're creating friction. You're squishing material into two pieces of plastic. Aren't you going to wear it out the same? Huh? Good point. Valid, right? That's why there's that adjustable sizing in the snaps, because they have a little larger hole opening. Therefore, you're not putting as much pressure on your jersey. So, on the material, when you sandwich it in there into the snap. So, take a look at them online. And it's a really kind of, it's just like buckling on your pants. So, my downside with mine, and this is, like I said, I love the product. The thing with me, it does bunch a little of material up. Not a big deal, really. Not as, you know, much as you think. Depends on how you do it. You really got to, you know, like, do it right. And I don't think you'll bunch as much. I bunched mine. It was just me. I think I was in a rush. I was doing it by myself. So I don't think I did it right. I think I used the wrong snap. But like I said, having the two sizes, the adjustability for the thickness of your jersey material, it helps a lot. So you're going to actually get probably a cleaner snap if you take your time and figure out which one works for your jerseys. You know, skin suits super thin, you're not going to need the big, you know, the bigger gapped ones, I guess is the best way I can say it. On the other hand, you know, you do have the thicker jerseys, and you know, you will need to have a little more room if you want your jerseys to last. So yeah, definitely. I mean, I looked at some of my jerseys the other day, and you can see where they've been pinned. They all kind of get pinned in the same location, and those areas are starting to look a little, you know, fray. So, you know, when we spend so much money on our stuff, it's just keep it looking good, you know? I mean, we all know that at any given minute, that crash is going to take it all out. But, you know, heaven forbid, you know, we don't have the crash, and why should we have to throw away our skin suits and kits because we've worn holes in them from safety pins? But yeah, definitely take a look at the race snaps. Okay, so that was our product from Brad. We're gonna let Brad do all the homework. Anyways, what? Stop it! Live radio, man. Live radio. I'm telling you. Watch. Now I'm gonna get a phone call too. Let's see if we can make it the double whammy. Live on the air. Anyways, yeah, Brad's racing right now. He's doing his Thursday night crit. Me, personally, I'm sitting here with a torn hamstring and a messed up knee. So my poor bikes get lots of love and affection. I'm actually tearing them down and cleaning everything and making sure they work and kinds of stuff, you know? That stuff you're supposed to be doing all the time, but you're too busy riding the bike and you don't want to take it down. This is how you recover, everybody. Take my advice on this. This is how you get yourself to recover faster. You don't hurt yourself again. As soon as you get hurt, you take your bikes apart. As soon as you can, of course. Go and take your bike apart and maintenance it. And don't be in a rush. Because that downtime will kind of allow you to rest, recover, and hopefully not re-injure yourself. Yes, I know. I did it myself. I did it to myself. But anyways. All right. What I'm going to do is we're going to start our first half here. We are getting close to the end. But we're going to start some of the interviews we got from Sea Otter. And one of the very first ones I got, really cool people there. I love talking to the people at Sea Otter, but the other big thing at Sea Otter, and I forgot to mention, but I shouldn't, and yes, I know I'm probably going to get a lashing, but it's okay. Women everywhere. We all love women, right? Everybody loves women. Lots and lots of women-specific clothing, bicycles, businesses in the bike industry, women-owned, women-designed, women-driven. And it's coming out now. Sadly, one company kind of, oops, luckily not an American company, but it's all over Facebook. But we can talk about that another day because it's going to be a hot topic for a little while. But yeah, you can go on Facebook and find it. Superior Cycles, take a look at it. But anyways, they just did some things wrong. But I know what their purpose was, and it's a reality. But you know, it did definitely got some people's thongs and panties and cycling shorts up in a crawl space. Wait, did that make sense? I don't know. I don't care. I met a really cool lady up there at Sea Otter, and she was working for her, I want to say, sister-in-law, and she was manning the booth, and it's kind of one of the first booths as you walk into the expo area there off the main bridge. Great placement, but, you know, it was a nice product if people actually sat and stopped and looked at it. Hell, I wanted one for myself. Anyways, I'll let it go. It's a Flora Velo, and it's a women's specific line of jerseys, and we use them for workout shirts too, but go ahead and let them do the talking.
Okay, I am at what I call Interbike West, but it's actually the Sea Otter. In Monterey, and I found a very woman-friendly item here. I know my wife's going to love it. I know a lot of women are going to love it who don't have those perfect bodies. But it's a really awesome jersey made by a company called Flora Velo. And it's got some really neat, I'm going to say the word. And yeah, you guys will tease me later. But it's really pretty jerseys, really nice designs. And there's actually some stuff behind it, and I'm here with Trish, whose sister actually made all these items, and she has really put some thought into these things. And when you guys hear this, make sure you check on Facebook, because I actually posted some pictures of some things that the guys, you may want to rock these under your jerseys, because they got some really cool little tricks. But I'll let Trish just hit a couple of little things real quick, Trish.
Okay, well, thanks, Robert. So our jerseys are a little bit different. They look different. They're pretty. They don't necessarily look like a traditional cycling jersey, but they function like one. So we include a cell phone pocket on the side, so you can get your cell phone out of the back pocket. We also have a covered pocket for ID or key. And then we make our jerseys a little different so they fit really well. We have a really good performance fabrics that we use, bright colors, and they fit women really, really nicely. And we're finding that people love our jerseys to ride in and even to do other things in because they look so nice.
And she's holding out some of the things, but I'll fill you in. There's basically three different fabrics used to make this jersey. So one will stretch four different ways, one will stretch two, and I will definitely go into more detail when we're talking about this live, but the pictures on there are amazing. It's a really nice thing. I think the price is fair. They're retail at $69.95 for the sleeveless and $74.95 for the sleeve. They've got more stuff coming out as well. You said a capri pant.
Yeah, we're hoping to come out with a long sleeve and a capri pant, and we actually have some new designs coming out really soon as well. And one of the things Robert was talking about is we make our jerseys with some different fabrics, so they fit women a lot better than traditional cycling jerseys, and they're also extremely flattering, so everybody looks good on them. And one of the important things is we design them ourselves, and they're actually manufactured in San Diego, so they're made in the USA.
Yay, USA, USA. So where can we get more info if people want to look up all the details and the specs and see the color patterns? Where are they going to go and look?
Go to Floravello.com, and you can also like us on Facebook. So we have a Facebook page, so look for Floravello on Facebook.
And I'll go ahead and link that to our page as well. One more thing I forgot, the anti-bottle. Look at it online. I'm going to have you guys go check that out. I'm not going to tell you any more about it, but you will definitely like to have that in your back pocket. I'm out.
Floravella. Whoa, what was that? All right. Floravello. Yeah, really, really cool stuff. They had a really neat line of jerseys. You know, not every female athlete has the rockin' hot body. It's every Joe Schmo. I mean, we're just regular people, right? Not everybody's a ripped out athlete. But they made a really cool line of jerseys. And, you know, if you've got that little soft section there, or you got those little extra last pounds you're trying to lose, or, I mean, face it, not everybody's got the perfect body. No one's, you know, we're all human. But the jersey was well thought out, and it was designed to accent a female's body. And some great little features cut into it, you know, I dug that cell phone pocket, you know, instead of putting it in your back pocket, you put it on the side, kind of easier access, or not even if you, you know, want to leave your cell phone at home, which is silly, but hey, some people do. You want to, I mean, heck, you put food in the side. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's a pain in the rear end to reach behind you to grab your food out of your back pocket, right? So, like I said, it was kind of a neat, yes, they were pretty, little pretty flowers, nice patterns, nice colors. They are very women specific. However, they did have a really cool undershirt. And, you know, that undershirt had some of the same features. So I was looking at it for myself to give that a whirl. But I did talk to Trish at Cruising the Conejo, and they were set up there showing off their stuff. And like I said, it's a really cool women's technical wear. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, it makes you feel good. I mean, it looks good. I mean, I know, and there's a lot of women right now who are like, oh, we don't want pretty. We want to be whatever. Understood. I understand, okay? The reality is, I use my wife as an example. She's a girly girl. She likes to bike ride. She likes to go out. She's not going to go ripping down no downhill. She's not going to be, you know, Joe mountain bike racer too. She wants to wear clothes that make her feel good, make her look good. And if it means some flowery prints or it means whatever, then that's what it is. You know, not everybody wants to, you know, you want to look good, you want to feel good. So everybody's got a style, and everyone's going to get catered to it. And this kind of goes on to the topic of what Superior Bikes did. The way they worded their marketing, you know, just, yeah, they screwed up. I'll say it. It's just, it wasn't right. Whoever their marketing person is probably looking for a new job. But I'm sure that the phrases that were used in their ad campaign, it is what a lot of women have said. I've worked in the bike shop and I've heard them say it. So, yeah, women do push, and I know they do. Anytime you do something out of your comfort zone, that's considered a push. I get it. We all do. I'm not a sexist person. Trust me, I'm far from it. But, you know, I also know that not everybody's going to be doing what, you know, you're doing. Some people want that other side. Look in the industry. Look everywhere you look, okay? So everyone's going to do their thing. But going back to Floravello, nice stuff, quality stuff. Get it for yourself. Get it for your significant other. Get it as a gift. Someone who likes to go do yoga, workout. I mean, you can wear it anywhere. It doesn't look like a cycling jersey, and that's the key. This is a wear-anywhere shirt. Even though it is a jersey and it's got the features to help you while riding, you can wear it anywhere, and that's what's so great about it. So take a look, Floravello. I will put the pictures up for some reason. They're not showing up, so they'll be up on the page here shortly. I'll go more into depth with Floravello and more in depth. Depth. It's been a long time talking, so start running out of things to say. But now I got lots to say, got lots to do. We're also going to visit in our next recording. We've got, let's see, who's coming up? We got the Gravity Cartel. We got Loof Forks. We got Body Float. We got 9.8 Dropper. We got Skirt Lube. Oh my God, I laughed so hard when I got there. We got Togs. We got Louis Garneau. We got Praxis. And Praxis has definitely got something coming real soon. It's been leaked, but I mean, it's another option out there for all us MTB guys. Another woman's company, New Moo. And then the Battle of the Bar Mounts. We got Barfly, Morsa Designs. And then we got an interview with Revive. And then we got the Sports Basement. If you're up in the Bay Area, you got to check that place out. But the time has come to say farewell. It's off to battle the 101. Wouldn't it be so cool if they had bike lanes down the middle of the freeways? Elevated, of course, you know, via the 110 busway. Wouldn't that have been awesome to have elevated bike lanes parallel to the freeways? Robert for mayor. Oh, hey, yeah, by the way, this is Robert Sandoval. Bike Sport Radio. You know, I'm telling you, I have way too much fun behind this microphone. Everybody, enjoy your rides. Until next time, I will not be a stranger. Hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on the trails. Oh, wait, nope. Bike's still in pieces. Got to recover. But I'll be out there soon. Promoters, let me know what events are coming up. I can get them on the air. Get some riders out there. And we will see you next time.